for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, July the 8th, 1993. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The coffees are the speakers of the morning.
Well, I'm sure that there would be many, many testimonies if you all came up and testified, and it'd be nice for you all to do that sometime. And we appreciate her desire to testify, because by the word of our mouth we overcome. And the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother and Sister Coffey are going to come take the rest of the morning here, and Brother Coffey's going to come, and then he will turn the podium over to his wife, Mildred.
The Lord is so good.
I've seen so many moves of the Spirit. I've seen God move in such miraculous ways. The song that we just had, the Lord prompted me to give a testimony. Normally, I don't get up and give testimonies. I was a smoker. Man, was I a smoker. I love cigarettes. I smoked 2 to 3 packs a day. And the Lord told me that they were not good for me or a witness for Him. So I said, well, I'm going to quit. And I tried for 2 years to quit. There's somebody here that needs to quit smoking this morning. I tried. The flesh can do many, many things. And I could try. It's not hard to quit. I quit every 2 weeks. That's right. I was an upholsterer. I'd take a pair of scissors and cut a pack of cigarettes in half and throw them in the garbage. And then I'd go back and smoke half cigarettes. Done it. I've done it. But you know, the flesh can stop this, but it won't last. Flesh can't overcome spirit. And this went on for 2 years. I could get so mad. My wife was a Sunday school teacher at the time. She was lighting a cigarette coming out of church one day, sitting in the car, and some of her students in Sunday school walked out, and she hid the cigarette. And the Lord said, what are you hiding it for? She said, well, they don't hurt anybody but me, Lord, and I loved smoking, and I didn't want those students of mine to see, and those Sunday school students to see those cigarettes. He says, I see them. Out the window they went, just like that. She's never smoked another cigarette. Now, I tried for 2 years. Finally, the day came, and I said, Lord, I have done this, and I have done this, and I've done this. I love you, and I want to quit. If you don't take these things away from me, I'm going to smoke them. I'm not going to throw away another pack of cigarettes. I'm not going to hide them. I'm going to put them. And I put them right in front of me on a shelf where I worked, where I had to look at them most of the day. And I left them there. About 9 months later, I took that pack of cigarettes and I turned them upside down, and all the tobacco fell out. They had dried out, and it fell out of those cigarettes. And I've never smoked another cigarette. Never wanted another cigarette. The next day, I didn't want another cigarette. The same day, I didn't want a cigarette.
We forgot to dismiss after that song. We got so carried away, we forgot to let the singer of it take his troop and leave, and Heather to take hers and go.
Amen.
So we've got to go.
Okay. Well, we appreciated that testimony. I think God wanted us to do that.
Amen. Okay, Colonel Heather, your company here, all of you, come on, company. Attention. Come on. Dismissed. Come on. One. Hip. One, two, three. Hip. Two, three. Up. One, two, three, four. Up. One, two, three, four. Okay. All right. Colonel Gino. Company, attention. Company dismissed. Up. One, two, three, four. Up. One, two, three, four.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for young people. Amen. Praise the Lord for young people that will spend their time coming to a camp. And enjoy it and being in the presence of the Lord, for truly the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
My name is Jim Coffey. I pastor a church in Millington, Tennessee. My wife and I are co-pastors of the church. They called us that way. We were both ordained ministers. And when the church was formed, they asked us both to come as pastors. We are a church of deliverance. This is a deliverance camp, and we are a church of deliverance. We didn't start a deliverance church, though. I often laughingly say my heel marks are all the way down the carpet from the front door to the pulpit where I was drugged to come into deliverance. I thought, hey, God, you want me in a good, clean, healing ministry. Now, that's nice. Praying for people, let's get them healed. And we started out in a full gospel group of people. And there's healing, there is much healing. But before the year was out, deliverance entered in. And God has been teaching us deliverance. Now, we're in a deliverance camp. This is what it's all about. This is what you came for. I'm not going to try to tell you all about deliverance. I'd like to. I'd like to tell you all that I know about deliverance. I know very little. But God's revealing more and more. Praise God, in the last few weeks, months, we've had doors open. Let me read you some scripture before we go too far here. Over in Exodus in the 23rd chapter, he says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee in the place that I have prepared." You'll find yourself in the trek of God's children coming out of Egypt, going into the promised land. You'll find your life there, somewhere where you're walking right now today. If you'll follow that trek of those people, you'll find yourself there. Now, God has promised us angels. My wife's going to preach on angels. I'm not going to get on angels because she's going to preach on angels. And if I ever say an angel, I'll pick up everything she's going to preach and I'll preach half her sermon up here. So I'm going to pass over that scripture. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. And if I shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary to thine adversaries. For lo, mine angels shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you'll look those words up, every one of them has an English meaning, and you'll find it's the name of a demon. Every last one of them. You want to know what they are? The Hittite is fear. The Girgashite is compromise. The Amorite is pride. The Canaanite is lust. The Perizzite is strife. The Hivite is deception. And the Jebusite is depression. Seven demons. Mary Magdalene was delivered from seven demons. Seven is a prime number in our worship of the Lord. Drop down to verse 27. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn thy backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee, and shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. Now look at verse 29. We come here for deliverance, and we want in we're here a week this time, or a little over a week, and we want to be set free.
Amen.
I want you to read the next verse. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year. Why? Lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. But by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now, that's not to say you won't get deliverance. You will be freed from many things this week. You'll not be freed from everything that the enemy has put in you. I wish it was true. I wish I could set you free. What that says is that if you got free, you would have no identity whatsoever. You would have nothing to stand on, that the enemy would come right back and take you over just immediately. You would have absolutely nothing. You have not got the Word in you to the point where you can stand to fight the enemy.
Amen.
I thought, hey, we have advanced. I've been in this for over 12 years. And we know something. We can stand. And the last 3 months, we have learned as much in the last 3 months as we've learned possibly in the 12 years before.
Amen.
Well, we've got names for them, well, slang names. We call them underbrush. When we go in mass deliverance, we cannot spend days, hours on one person doing the work that it's necessary. You see, mean to say that it takes that long to get some of them out until you understand what you're fighting. It can take a long time. But you can get all of this stuff that harasses you, the little stuff. And if you let that alone and let it stay in you, it will become what we call a strong man. It will become stronger and stronger till it will overtake you. For instance, let me show you how demons work. In case you didn't know, some people have a spirit, we'll use the worst thing I can think of, homosexuality. You say, but I'm not a homosexual. Well, I didn't say you were a homosexual. I said you had a spirit of homosexuality. That little thing is sitting back there in the dark. And every time you disobey the Lord and you open the door, what we call open doors to your life, which is sinning, by being disobedient to God, you open doors to the devil to move against you. And he gains a little strength, and he brings in a buddy, a friend. The strength of a demon depends on how much control he has, how many demons he can get in you. You mean I got more than one? I wish we only had 10 or 12. You say, well, people tell us we see demons under every rock. We're involved in this, and all you talk about is demons. You see them under every rock. No, I don't see demons under every rock. There's 7 of them under there. There's a whole family there. That's what we're fighting. And they will bring all of this into you if you don't do something about it and start when they're small, like a place like this, and get rid of this junk. When you can stand in under mass deliverance, move. We have worked with a girl for 5 years. Let me show you something. 5 years, and he's still there. We have just discovered why he's still there. It takes a long time, don't it? No, we're just ignorant. We don't know the Word of God. We haven't depended upon God the way we should depend upon God. Had we done this 5 years ago, had we learned 5 years ago, and that's, we're getting a lot of help, but we're learning now to depend on God to reveal to us that there are two crossed over, and we were after one of them. And while we were after one, the other one was taking control. And we didn't know he was there. We didn't know his name, didn't know he was there, and we kept him hid. He said, how do you ever get rid of this stuff? You're talking stuff that, this is strong. Everybody is subject to stuff like this, aren't we? Yes. Yes, you are. And if you don't rely on God and trust in God, and Mildred will tell you about the angels and the use of the angels, and that's part of it. You are subject to this. And if you don't keep your life clean, what happens to people? We have a lady in our church that she is a music teacher. She teaches piano, and she plays the piano for our church services. She has a daughter that needs deliverance real bad, and we've been working on her. This is the lady who we've worked so long with, her daughter. She's not a young girl. She's 32 years old, I believe. And her mother is in her 50s. And she plays the piano. And Sunday night, this past Sunday night, she was playing the piano, and the demon took over. And right in the middle of a song, the demon took over. And we, in our church, we have a praise time together. We come together, and we lift up the Lord, and we give experiences so that whoever's down can hear a good praise of God and see what God is doing in somebody else's life. And we raise each other up. Every meeting that we come together, we do this because there are those that need lifting up.
Yes.
And we had just finished that and gone into the praise, and after about three songs, she just couldn't hit the keys, and she started to cry, and then she just took over. Well, Mildred came. I called Mildred. I was leading the singing. I called Mildred up, and she started ministering to her. And we let the women minister to women, the men to men in my church. And we help. We stand back, but Mildred takes charge of it. And in about 10 minutes, I guess, we had her back normal, and so we started to sing again. So we sang another song and started into, I don't remember what it was, we sang about the first two lines of it, and her hands froze. We worked 2.5 hours on that lady, everybody in the church. We had no preaching. We just went to work. When somebody's in need, that's the time that you go to work at it. I mean, we don't have special hours. If somebody gets in need at 10 o'clock at night and the call comes, we go to work. So they worked for this length of time. We got her back to where she could function. But that's all. She could only function. We asked, are you all right? What day is it? Can you hear me? What time is it? Do you know who you are? Where am I? And this was how completely taken over she was. And the Lord told me to send her home and let her get a night's sleep because we had done all we could do with her and we couldn't bring her back beyond that point. We bound. You ask why didn't we bound? We had everybody binding. We had everybody casting out. We had everybody doing everything that we knew to do. This is why we're here. We were so tired. We have been involved in this for deep, heavy ministry for the last 4 weeks, fighting the devil, and I mean face-to-face devil. I don't mean little furball demons. I mean we have fought Satan, been told that, yes, he knows your name by someone that knows his name and knows him. So we have been so involved, and we were so tired that we could go no further, and we sent her home. And that was Sunday night, and we came over here Monday. Monday morning, we told her she could call. Well, midnight, she called the house, and she still had not, after midnight, a little after midnight, she called and talked to Mildred, got her out of bed, and said, I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Mildred said, no, you're not. No, you're not. And she prayed over again. Pardon? She prayed over again and sent her back to bed. And she called the next morning, and the Lord gave Mildred the answer. While she was on the phone talking to me, and Mildred could not get to the phone at that minute, but as soon as she could, she came to the phone, and the Lord had given the answer, and Mildred went right after it and cast that thing out of her, and she popped back just that quick. And she's normal. I mean, back normal. Now, I'm just telling you this to show you what you're up against. We are getting closer and closer to the end time. I don't know when it is. Nobody knows when the end time is. We know that there are end time things that happen. Read Revelation, the 9th chapter, about that pit and the opening of the pit and what comes out of the pit. They come as a cloud. It says a smoke. And then it read what comes out of that smoke in the locusts. And then it describes the locusts. These are demons. These are end-time demons that we're fighting. We run into things we've never run into before. Yes, we cast out demons. We've been doing this for years and fairly successful at it. But here lately, we have run into some real power of the enemy. Now, you say, well, that's fine for you all. I'm not in Tennessee. The thing that has brought this in came out of Oklahoma. There's no bounds. I'm saying this to say, hey, there's no bounds to this. The enemy is everywhere. And if you're making a step for the Lord, look out. You're already marked just being here in this camp. Did you know that? You're marked. You said in deliverance. He doesn't know but what you won't carry this message and go back and preach it and get somebody set free. So he's going to come after you now. Are you prepared to fight the enemy? You better be prepared. Oh, I'm not trying to scare you. Praise God, we have a God that is over all of the power of the enemy. Just like in, who was it, Chuck? Was it Chuck that gave us Luke 10:19 the last day or so? When the 70 returned and they saw the power that had been exercised, that even the demons are subject to your name, Lord. He said, "Behold, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I give you power to tread over what? Serpents and scorpions." What serpents and scorpions? What is he talking about? The power of the enemy, the demonic forces. And I found out that there are echelons of power involved in this. There are sons of Satan. Didn't you know there were sons of Satan? Everything God has done, Satan has counterfeited. Everything but salvation. So, there are powers involved, and the fallen angels. All of this is involved. So, God is in control. He said, "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And as you exercise the Word of God in your life and apply it to your life, I don't know how this Word works. Do you know that when you receive the Word of God, you received it for salvation. I'm sure that everybody here is saved. Most everybody. You changed, didn't you? Well, the more of the Word of God you receive, when you receive that Word, I don't know how this thing works, but let me tell you what happens. It comes in through the ear, and you receive it in your spirit, and it conceives and brings forth the product that the Word speaks of.
Amen.
Can you see that? Read the birth of Jesus and see how he was conceived. Same way. The Word works the same way in you. What did Mary say when that angel told her that she would be the mother of our Lord? Did she say, "Well, I've never known a man. This can't happen to me. I don't know anything about this. You talking about somebody else." No, that wasn't what she said. What did she say?
"Be it unto me according to..."
Absolutely. "Be it unto me according to your word."
Yes.
And as she received that word, she said, "I accept that word just like you spoke it." And it conceived in her womb and brought forth Jesus. Well, when you receive the word, you receive it in your spirit, in the womb of you, in your spirit man, and it conceives in you, and it brings forth that which the word has declared, whatever word you're receiving. And you've got to receive it in your spirit. That's why you have to receive it in your spirit.
Yes.
The head won't work. It won't work in your head. The devil will steal every bit of the memorized word you've got. That's what Brother Jack was talking about last night, the young man that tried to memorize the Bible. We have a lady in our community that memorized the whole book of John. Could speak it word for word. Whole book. Today she says, "I find there's a lot of other things in the world other than church. I've been in church all my life. But I find out there's a lot of other things, and I'm taking advantage of those now." You know what she got into? New Age. I wonder how much of that book of John she can quote to you today. I wonder how much it means to her. I don't care how much word you can quote. If it's not real in your life, it's not worth a penny to you.
Amen.
I didn't mean to take all this. Ooh, I've taken too much time. Praise God. I'm going to quit right now. My wife's got a message for you. My wife, God has given her... God gave her deliverance. He didn't give me deliverance. I want you to understand that. But I saw it to be real. And when he gave it to her, I could do nothing but back her up. I can't turn away from it. The devil will kill us if we ever quit deliverance. If we ever break down and turn our backs to what God is doing, he'll kill us. And it's her ministry. Deliverance is her ministry. That's why she's preaching to you this morning. Come, Mildred.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
No, it's ours. It started out in me. He was serious when he said he came dragging his feet. He did not want any part of deliverance. And when the Lord began to show him healing, I didn't want any part of healing. I was sick all the time, so I didn't want him preaching to me. So, but the Lord did put in my heart the desire to help people. And the reason I'm preaching this morning, he won't do it. I thought, "Now you're doing it, leave me sit there." He was doing a good job, wasn't he? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We walk together. He just murdered my sermon, but that's okay. He does that. We walk together, and he said, I'll interrupt me for when I get started and take over, because we do that too, and it's no big deal, because we all one. God made us one. I was telling him when Brother Glenn last night, we had ministered this morning, and I thought, okay. I was thinking, Jim can do that. He'll be prepared. God will use him. And then Brother Jack got up here, and he began to talk about the angels, the angel of the Lord that he sees, and the Lord began to deal with me about what he had already given me, that I had not been able to preach in our church. I'd been doing this study on angels, because, see, I've had just recently witness to me that when I send the angels, that they're there. I've had people call me and say, get your angels away, so you know, don't do this. Get them, remove them. And I thought, oh, you're sending my angels. I'm sending. Praise the Lord. And I said, I'll send you some more. What I want to show you this morning, that God has given us angels as a weapon. In deliverance, you need every weapon you can use. And we have seen God do so much. And I was talking, we were talking to a couple ladies last night outside the motel when we came up. They were going to their room, and they'd been here. They left this morning, and they were so excited, and they had learned a little bit about deliverance. And we were sharing with them. We put angels around them as they left for their safety. And she said, oh, I'd like to know about them. And I said, well, God has given us authority over them. And one of the ladies said, but you can't do that. I said, well, it's a little bit too late. Tell me I can't. Because it already works. I've had demons tell me I couldn't do it too, but I found that it always works, you know. Now, I want to give you a scripture, and I know you know it, over in Hosea. I have a lot of scriptures, and I don't know if I'll get to use them all or not, but that's okay. Lord knows what we need. But in Hosea, and you probably can quote it, and I had been misquoting it, and I was so glad that the Lord sent me back over there. In Hosea chapter 4, in verse 6, Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. And God says, if we reject his knowledge, his word, if we're going to reject what he has to say, he's going to forget our children. And this is, to me, today, what I see happening to our kids, they're being destroyed because God's people have walked in lack of knowledge and have not known how to protect their children. You see, if you can't control your children, but you can always put protection around them. You can send the angels of the Lord to protect them as they're out and whatever they're doing. And it works. But it only works as you know your authority in Jesus. Anything in this word is yours. Everything here is ours. As we walk in the knowledge of this word and who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it only works as your faith in him. Lord woke me up one morning real early, and he said to me, taught me binding. For years we worked in deliverance, didn't know how to bind spirits. And we'd work all night trying to get one out. And the Lord woke me up and told me, to bind. He said, whatever I bind on earth was bound in heaven. And of course, what do we say when somebody says that to us? Well, I know that. We always say, I know it. And just as soon as we say we know it, you might as well realize you don't really know it. You know about it. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And I thought, well, Lord, I know. You know, I know. But when he said it the third time, I knew he was telling me something. And I got up out of bed, and I went and got my Bible, and I went to Matthew 16:16, 18:19, and then I read it. But he's backed me up to verse 13, and he said that this binding of mine would work according to my faith in Jesus Christ and who Jesus was to me and what I believed about him. And that's what the Lord was trying to show me that morning, was that your binding will work and your authority will work in as you believe in me. And so it's what I believe about who Jesus Christ is to me and in me, and what authority I have in him, that this authority works.
Amen.
It doesn't work when you try it. It works when you do it, knowing that God watches over His Word to perform it. Not my words, but His.
Amen.
And so this is why it's so important, as my husband said, to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you can't use the Word of God. You don't know how to stand upon the Word of God. And so it works according to who, what we believe about it. Now, if we reject the Word, first time I heard some things I rejected, I thought, no, I don't believe that. And I was in Winhurley's church in Chicago, and Dr. Marcus Hagin was teaching on soul ties. And I was just newly out of the Baptist church. And we had just gone in as ministers. We'd been ordained a long time, but Lord kept us in the Baptist church until He put us in the church we're in now as pastors. And when I heard Dr. Haggard talk about the soul ties, I thought, this is way far out. I don't believe this. So I got up and walked out of the auditorium, went downstairs to the bathroom, and I was in there just talking to the Lord. And the Lord said to me, don't reject it. He said, don't reject it. Listen. And He got my attention, and I went back up there, and I listened. I still didn't know about it. You know, I never heard anything about it before. And then the Lord began to minister truth to me. See, if we reject the Word on anything, instead of saying, Lord, I'm gonna listen. If that woman's nuts, I'm going to go in here and find out. I'm going to take the Scriptures, and I'm going to go check them out for myself. And you should do that on everything. You shouldn't take anybody's word on it. You should get into this Word and take God's word on it and see what God says about it.
Amen.
And there it is. It's written. And,
yes.
And this is our only guide that we have. Over in John, in the 14th chapter of John, I got a couple of scriptures I'm going to give you before we go into talking about the angels this morning. But the Lord gave me this. I got up early this morning, and as I was kind of thinking on the scriptures I wanted to use, He gave me this in John 14, which all of you know. Every one of you knows John 14:12. And He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And He said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, and this is what I wanted you to see. He said to me, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Why is He going to do it? Just because we want it? Because we want a new car or new this or new that? See, we started out in a charismatic movement that we're going to have what we say, and anything we're going to ask God for, He's going to give to us because He said I can have anything I ask for. But that's not what He said. And when you read verse 12, He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. And you're going to have to ask God for help and to show you what to do as you're doing the greater works. And that's when He's going to do whatever you ask Him.
Amen.
When you're doing the works that He sent you to do. And let me tell you, He does perform His word.
Hallelujah.
In every area of your life. He will do it. And as you do those works, as you seek to do it, and Jim used my scripture a while ago, so I'll just quote it. He said, I've given you authority. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. John 14:14. He woke me up one morning and gave me that one, the same way He did on binding and loosing. And then he has given us authority in Luke, in the 10th chapter, verse 19, that He just quoted, that Jesus said, behold, I give you power, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you. All the power. This lady last night was out in the Methodist church, and she said, oh, it's almost frightening. I said, no, don't be afraid. Stand up and know who you are in Jesus. You've got authority. Run the devil off your grandkids. Run the devil off of your kids. You've got authority. You don't be afraid. He's the one who's got to be afraid.
Amen.
And when you know that you've got this authority, Jesus said, I've given you the authority, and He's expecting us to walk in it. And here we walk around most time like we're defeated and worn out. And down, and I was talking about worn out. We had to do deliverance on he and I. We were here 3 days and still couldn't get rested till we did deliverance on one another. We called off supernatural tiredness. We'd been cursed to steal our vacation and our time so we wouldn't be able to do anything. And after we went through deliverance yesterday, we were both okay. He ministered to me and I ministered to him. We do this, and this is a great thing about a husband and wife team. You can minister one to the other. But Jesus said, don't be excited. The next verse in Luke says, be glad that your name is written in heaven. See, the authority and the power he's given us, and he said, just walk in it, it's yours. But be excited that your name is in heaven. So, we've got the authority, and what I'm trying to get you to do this morning, get you to see and want you to see, is the word is true, he's given us authority, and if he's given us authority, we have authority over angels. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. I go by this. This lady was telling me, I was talking to her yesterday about it, and she said, they left this morning, she said, but you can't do that. And I thought, I've heard demons tell me the same thing, but you can't do that. And I said, too late, I already know it works. But I said, the Lord has given us authority. In Hebrews, in the first chapter, in verse, well, let's start, let me read a little bit of background, and we'll begin with verse 4. He said, being so much better than the angels, as he has talking about Jesus, being so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now the angels of God worship Jesus. And he said that as when he brought the Son in, he said, and of the angels, he said, saith, who maketh his angels spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire. Angels are spirit. This is what I wanted you to see. Now, the angels worship Jesus, and we're not to worship angels. I'll give you a scripture on that. But what I want you to know is this morning that angels are spirit, and you can, and they're, at verse 14, if you'll go over to verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for? It didn't say to, it said for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation?
Amen.
When you're fighting the enemy, when you're praying for your kids, aren't they your children? And can't you see that these angels can minister for you? You can send them. You can't go, but you can send them. Your prayers go, and you can send those angels with your prayers. I just want to show you some scriptures this morning and show you what the angels do and how much authority you, how they work, and how you can use this authority, and as you believe it, it will be fulfilled. The word is, Scripture says in Jeremiah 1, verse 12, I think it's 12 or 14, he says, he hastens his word to perform it. And it's God's word that he performs. So, let's go over to Psalms. I want to give you some scriptures and just show you some of the things. I don't want to tell you some of the things I've experienced with angels, but I want to show you some of the scripture first. Psalms 103. And this is where the Lord began to show me how angels worked according to God's word. In Psalms 103 and verse 20, he said, bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. When I first began to pray, I shared with my church, I pray with Jim every morning as he goes to work, he leaves. We live on 51 Highway, and from where we live outside of Memphis, it's always been just a horrible, kind of like your, whatever this highway is out here, it's horrible. The traffic is, and when he drives out of my driveway every morning, I stand in the front door and I pray. And I say, Father, put angels around him. Let no one harm him or his car. And Father, don't let him harm anyone or anyone else's car. And I said, Father, I thank you for the angels protecting him as he goes to work and as he's at work and as you bring him back from work. And a lot of times he tells me of narrow escapes that he has coming back home or going that he sees accident almost, you know, and he for no reason that cars don't hit him, you know, when they maybe should. But the angels of the Lord are there protecting. And we put the angels there. I put them there believing. And as I pray for him, I pray this for my whole family. I said, Father, I don't know what my kids are doing today. Our youngest is like almost 40. And I said, Father, I just ask you to put angels around our kids. And I name them. And around my grandchildren. And around my children's husbands and wives. I said, protect them. Let no harm come to them today. And we see that. And we hear reports of how God has protected them. And You have not because you ask not, James says. And when you ask amiss. And most of the time we say, God, you do this and God, you do that. Now, God said in his word that Jesus completed the work and went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Uh-huh. Did it not? In Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 6, said he's seated at the Father's right hand. He's seated in heavenly places and we're in him in heavenly places. If I'm in him at the right hand of the Father, then I have authority that comes from the throne of God. If I'm in Jesus and he's at the Father's hand, and if he's in me, then I've got authority that comes from the throne room of God.
Amen.
And when I go into warfare, I say, Father, I come in the authority you've given me in Christ Jesus, where I'm seated in the third heaven, far above
yeah,
principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. My authority comes from God because of Jesus Christ. And demons recognize that authority.
Yeah.
And so it works the same way when we're asking for the angels. Many times, people say, well, don't you ask God to do it? Well, if they hearken unto the voice of God's word, and God said over in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation, I'm an heir, and so therefore I can just send those angels according to his word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now,
watching over our room right now.
Right. When we left this morning, we had a strange feeling that one of the girls fixing going to clean our room is a witch. And we've been having some run-ins with witches lately. And he prayed. He covered everything in there, filled that room full of angels that nothing could be touched. And nothing could be left in that room. Praise the Lord. And we believe. And when we go in tonight, we'll cleanse the room again because they've been in it while we were gone. And we'll ask Father to send angels in to drive out anything that's been left in there.
Yes, amen.
And then we anoint the room with oil. We believe in anointing.
Yes, amen.
And we cover the door. You know, the anointing, when you put the oil on the door, it's like putting the blood there over in Exodus 12 where God told Moses to put the blood on the door. So we just use the oil and put it on three sides of the door, and that nothing can enter in, and ask God to seal the room. And God seals it, and we sleep peacefully. And if we don't do that at night, we don't always sleep peacefully if we forget. We didn't do it Tuesday night, and he got under terrible attack. We did it last night. We remembered last night. But God has given us authority, and we have got to use it. It doesn't work when you walk in presumption. See, that's what we were doing the other night. We were tired. We came in. We just presumed we had cleaned the room when we went in. And we just, tired, went to bed, forgot. You forget. And I told him, I said, I got up during the night after he got under attack, and I began to pray over the room. And he went back to sleep. But we try not to forget it anymore. But to show you that the word, angels work and move according to the word, go to Daniel in the 10th chapter, and let's look at what happened with Daniel. All of you know the scripture know what happened when Daniel fasted and sought the Lord and prayed, and the angel of the Lord came to him. Well, I'm not going to read the story, but I want to read to you what the angel said to him in chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word." Do you see that?
Yes.
He said, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. Now, this was the angel that was sent from God. It was Gabriel that was sent to him. And he was sent to Daniel with a message, an end-time message. But what I wanted you to see was, he said, well, but that was Daniel. The word says God is no respecter of persons. And what God has done for Daniel, what God did, Jim read one of my scriptures over there in Exodus. He said he'd send the angels before you to make your path straight. You know that when you're going on a trip or when you're going somewhere, if you've got to go I do this with people that are seeking employment or need jobs or are going somewhere. I just say, Father, they'll call me and say, would you pray? Well, their prayers, they pray as well as I can, but they always want reinforcements. And so I just say, Father, send your angels before them to make the way for them, prepare the way as they go. And Father, we just lose favor as they go, and the enemy cannot attack them or harass them in any way. And let your angels encamp around about the person they're going to talk to and keep them safe as they go.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. It's all done in the name of Jesus. And it works. It works because it's God's word. He said, told Daniel, said, I came because of the prayer you prayed.
Uh-huh.
He said, the words that you used. And he said in verse 19, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone, for lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth me with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael, your prince. He was talking to Daniel, and many times in warfare when we were doing deliverance, when I've used every trick in the book, you know, every scripture on a demon, and a demon will sit there and say, I'm not going to go. I said, Father, would you send Michael? Well, I don't know who comes. Somebody does, because that demon will get really mad and will fight. And so I've had him tell me I fought with him again. He said, you mean you could call on Michael? Well, Michael, your prince? Are you the spiritual Israel?
Amen.
He was talking to Daniel that Michael was the prince over Israel. We have weapons that we don't know about, and we have weapons we don't use. You know, the scripture tells us over in Matthew, it talks about that when the angel of the children always beholds the father's face. You know, when the children are born, you believe children when they come into the world got angels, don't you? What do you think ever happens to those angels? Do you think they leave because you grew up? They don't leave. They're still with you. But I think a lot of times our angels are so fat and lazy because we don't ever get them to do anything.
Amen.
We never say, you know, do this or do that. And they protect us a lot of times when we don't even know they're doing it.
Right.
And God's protection is over us. And they, you know, Brother Jack talked about last night, I thought, it's tremendous to me because I preach a lot on evil angels. And I always use Job because in Job, I like to show that even Satan had to go and appear before God. He had to come. When God said come, he came. He was there with all the sons of God, you know, and said, and Satan came also. But you know, there's a scripture there that says, I think it's Job 1 verse, I don't know, 12 something, that says, that Job said, the devil said to God, said, you got a hedge around Job. Said, I can't touch him because you've got a hedge around him. Did you know you've got a hedge around you when you're obeying the Lord and walking in his word and doing his word to the best of your ability, that you keep a hedge around you? But there's a scripture over in Ecclesiastes said that when, but you see, your faith keeps this hedge up. Lord showed it to me one time. In the area of a hedge of angels around me, this is before I got into deliverance real, real strong, and I sure thank the Lord a lot of times for it. But he showed me in the center of, I've never seen angels but this one time, and I saw them in the spirit this time, but he had shown it to me in the spirit realm that I was surrounded by angels, and they were warriors. They didn't have wings. They looked like what I would think like Roman soldiers, you know, with the Roman armor on and the great big shield, but they were great big tall angels, and I was in the middle of them, and they had made a complete circle around me, and nothing could come through them. The Lord showed me the demons coming up to them and trying to get through them, and they couldn't get through, and I was totally protected. And then all of a sudden I saw the shields go down and the angels stand there, And the demons were just running right past them and coming, and they were attacking me. And I was saying, Lord, what happened? He said, you let your faith down. He said, and when your faith, when you let your faith down, he said, there was nothing to keep the angels working. And so the minute he showed me that, and I saw myself get up and begin to speak the word of God, when I began to say, you know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. God's word says, and as I began to do that, I saw the demons had to go, and I saw the angels with their hedge back around me again. And that was a hedge around me. And God showed it to me clearly. And see, as long as we keep our hedge around us, they cannot attack us. And you know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that said that when you get a hole in your hedge, the serpent will bite you. If you want the scriptures, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8. But it said the serpent will bite you when you get a hole in your hedge. And so God has given us authority, and we have to operate in it. The angels do not, they protect us, and many times they protected us when we didn't know they were protecting us, because God is faithful. Because we've had it told to us that when they would try to attack us, the demons would come, or the witches would send them, that they could not get to us because they would find the angels standing winged, and they've said winged angels, all the way around, that there was no hole where they could get through to attack us. We know God has protected us so many times. So many times, continuously, if he hadn't, we wouldn't be here now, really, to tell you the truth about it. But what I want you to know today is that you can send the angels. You can send them to protect. We have used them in deliverance, in the area of holding people. While I'm telling this, if you go to Revelation 12 and want to use another scripture over there, but We have been working in mission in Memphis. We're not working there anymore right now. But we would do deliverance down there on some of these men, and they would just be real violent. Well, there's, you know, you can put a dozen men on to hold them down if you want to. But we found that the angels would hold them and pin them flat to the floor, and they couldn't budge. You could just have angels hold their hands, their body, and they could not move. And it would look so strange. Here these men are just struggling. You know, the demons in the men struggling, trying to get loose, and they couldn't move. They were just, it was frustrating to them. But the angels would hold them there as we would call upon them. We've also know that binding, you can bind them in chairs and hold, call for angels. And I've had demons tell me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to not. If these blankety-blank angels turn me loose, I would really fix you. And I always appreciate my angels. I said, thank you, Lord, for the angels. See, we've had confirmation of that they're working. I don't see them, but I do know they're there.
Yes.
They're there. And you know, it's comforting to know that the angels of the Lord are, what is it, three times more than the ones of the evil one. Amen? You know, Jesus said he could have called for 12 legions of angels when he hung up on the cross, remember? He said he could have called for them. But he didn't, because he had to go. He was going through what he had to go through.
Amen.
And if he could call for 12 legions, don't you think you could call for a legion or two?
Amen.
A legion or two. I always say, Lord, if it seems like it's a powerful demon and I'm there, you know, I have to deal with them. Sometimes they come in my house and I'm by myself, and they come in people. Now these are not spirit demons without bodies. They're coming people. And I'll say, Lord, send me a legion of angels at least to protect me when they come in. And he has plenty, and he sends them. So we have to ask for them in this area. But so many times, I'll tell you this, when you leave this place to go home, I don't know how far you have to drive, but I'll tell you this, when we leave our place to go home, we're going to bind everything that we can be loosed against us. We're going to call for the angels of the Lord to encamp around about us. And if we drive at night, now I don't have scripture for this. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to believe that because you don't have scripture for it. But I'm sure it's in the book somewhere, so I just hadn't found it. But angels are spirits. Didn't I read the scripture a while ago that said angels are spirits? We were driving one night, and Jim, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. We had ministered to real late, and we were going home. We had a 2-hour drive to get home. And he did it. I didn't do it. But the Lord told him, evidently told him, because I don't think he's smart enough to have thought about it on his own. And he said, He said we were just driving along, and I was trying to stay awake to keep him awake, and I knew he was. And all of a sudden, I heard him say, "Father, put an angel in my mind to keep me awake till I get home." And I thought, man, you know, where's that in the scripture? That's what you always want to know. Well, I didn't know where it was, but I did, and I'm sure it must be somewheres. But anyways, it worked. And we got home. He stayed wide awake all the way home. We got home. When he was going around for the bed to get into the bed, I heard him say, "Now I release that angel in Jesus' name so I can sleep." And I think he was sleep time he hit the bed. But angels are ministering spirits, and they're sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. There's a lot of things that we have discovered that actually worked in the area of using callings of the angels. I'll show you this. And I really don't have scripture for this, but I just know it works. Have you ever had thoughts come against your mind so bad that you couldn't think and you couldn't control them? Maybe going through a hard time, maybe in the area of needing healing, or I don't know. But a lot of things that go on and thoughts just come into your mind. Do you think the devil's trying to make you think you're going insane? Well, I believe there's five openings in our mind, five doorways, which is our five senses. And I had this happen to me one time. We were going through a terrible time with one of our kids. And I said, "Lord, I just can't take this any longer. I just can't do it. I don't know what's..." I said, "I feel like I'm going to lose my mind." And the thought came to me was, I said, as I was praying that to the Lord, I said, "Lord, put an angel in every doorway of my mind and block the thoughts that the enemy's putting in my mind." Because you see, he was telling me all kinds of bad things that were going to happen. You know, a lot of times the things that you think are just the enemy putting the thoughts there, and they never happen. They never come. But it's torment. It's torment. It's tormenting spirits. Torment. And I said, "Father, put it there until I can deal with this." And I really didn't think a whole lot about it at that time. But as I continued on, I was driving. And as I continued on, I began to notice that all of a sudden that it was just real quiet in my mind. And I saw that it worked. You said, "Now give me scripture." I don't have scripture for that. And I know that we don't like that things are not scriptural. But I tell you what, all I know is that when something works, it works for me. And as I begin to dig in this word, God will reveal it to me. He'll show it to me. He always shows it to me in this word. And my problem is that I don't dig in it enough. And I... angels... So we have authority over them, and we need to use them. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 12, and let's look at this. In verse 7, Brother Glenn, and then we're quoting it a while ago, but I want you to look at this. It talked about Michael being the angel of the Israelites, that we're the spiritual Israel. In verse 7 it says, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them day before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Some say that this has happened. Some say it hasn't happened. All I know is that when I was talking to an evil angel one time, I asked him, he called me stupid and ignorant, and I said, "Well, I may be, but I want to ask you one thing." You see, you talk to evil angels? Well, he was in a person. He said he was an evil angel. That's all I had to go on. And I said, "If I'm so stupid and dumb, what are you doing in her? If you say you're an angel..." He said, "I'm the great Apollyon." I said, "You don't look so great to me." But he said, I said, if you're the who you say you are, what are you doing here? Why were you so stupid that you left God? He hates tongues. He doesn't want anybody... This is why we fight him, is with tongues. He said, "I can't stand the tongues." And so he told me one time when he was in conversation with me, when I was trying to get him out and he was trying to delay his tactics, he said that he had been in the presence of God and he was beautiful. And so I said to him, I said, you call me stupid. If I'd been there with my God, I said, why'd you follow that Lucifer anyway? He said, you are so dumb. I didn't want to agree with him, but it was true when it comes to things like that. But I didn't say anything. I was just listening, waiting to see what he was going to tell me. And he said, pride. Why did Satan get kicked out of heaven? Pride. But here we see there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. Well, if Michael fought the war and he was kicked out of heaven, and God's word says the accuser of the brethren says, woe unto the earth. Aren't we the earth? Who accuses you? The Spirit of God doesn't accuse you. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and Michael and his angels kicked him out of heaven. So why do we not have authority to call the angels to do battle for us today, to do warfare for us? You see, the Scripture says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. You can't win in the natural with that kind of warfare. You better know your spiritual warfare, how to fight spiritually, or you can't win. Because flesh can't win against Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit, the power that God has given you and I to do spiritual warfare. And if you don't do spiritual warfare over your family, the devil will destroy them simply because of who you are. Amen. He tries his best to destroy our kids. Man, my kids, it's been a horrible battle for our kids. But and I heard Irma talking about hers. No wonder what they're doing. The devil's done everything he can to destroy the kids. And we have to do spiritual warfare. We have to put on the whole armor of God. For our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the name of Jesus. He's given us the blood of Jesus. He's given us His written word. He's given us the word of God. And then He's given us the angels to do warfare. We have much to fight the enemy with.
Yes.
And we need to know everything that God has given unto us so we can stand.
Amen.
And He says, when you've done all, when you've bound and you've loosed and you've sent the angels and you've done all, you stand saying, I'm not moved by what I see, I'm moved by what the Word of God says.
Amen.
You see, I heard just recently when we were dealing with a witch that, can I tell you why healing doesn't come? We get under curses, you know, sins of the fathers or whatever kind of curse that we're under. And someone, we ask for prayer and we receive prayer for healing. And we know the word works. But we look at the physical more than we do the spirit. And so we get prayed for cancer or arthritis, or heart problems, whatever it is, we get prayer for it, and God heals us. Now, He heals us. Listen to me. He heals us. But the enemy will cause the symptom to still be there, and you'll believe the symptom before you believe God.
Amen.
And therefore, you receive it back instead of standing and say, I don't believe what I see. I'm believing what the Word says.
Hallelujah.
And so the devil puts the sickness right back on you.
Hallelujah.
And that's why people are not healed.
Amen.
We look at the natural instead of believing what God's Word says.
Amen.
He sent His Word and healed them. Jesus, we heard it last night. I taped it. I was taping some songs, and when Brother Jack was prophesying, he said he was wounded. Those stripes was put on him for us. And so it's for our healing. But because we won't believe it, we will not receive our healing. God heals us. But the minute a symptom comes, instead of saying, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus, I won't accept that symptom, and continue rebuking the symptom until it's gone, and not looking at yourself, but saying, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm healed because the Word said it. And Jesus took my infirmities upon the cross. And that's why God's people are not healed. I heard Irma a long time ago where she's back there. She's talking about manifesting a demon one time, and the demon said he was unbelief that killed the Christians. And I understand that. I mean, I totally understood that, because it's the unbelief in us that looks at the natural instead of the spirit, and instead of looking at the Word of God, seeing what the Word says, then we accept it back, even though Jesus has already healed us.
Hallelujah.
And it's hard to receive it the second time. And you go back and get prayer again, then you fight those symptoms. You say, no, I don't care. If I can't walk, if I can't do anything but crawl, I'll crawl, but I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you don't listen to what people say about it. You, the devil will send you three people and say, you need to go to the doctor. He will. If God confirms His word, so does the devil. He'll send you somebody and say, you look awful, go to the doctor. You say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And they say, you lying. I say, no, I was prayed for. And the word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I don't care what my body says, and I don't care what you say.
Amen.
And you got to stand, and you got to stand on it.
Hallelujah.
Because healing is for God's people. And two-thirds of us stay sick all the time, carrying around pills in our pocketbook. Well, we ought to be overcomers. Instead of letting the devil steal it from us. The word works. It works. It works with the angels. It works with binding. It works with loosing. And it works in healing. Amen.
She told you I was going to be here. Now, she won't tell you. She won't tell you about this situation. Years ago, she had a ruptured disc. Before walking with the Lord, before deliverance, before any of this. So she went to the hospital eventually, and they found it. Finally found it and took it out and fixed it. Walking with the Lord in deliverance, she bent down one day, and her back would not let her straighten up. She went bent over for several weeks. We prayed for her. We did deliverance on her. We did everything we could to get that out. Now, we had a good friend who was one of the leaders in Full Gospel in Memphis, and I was a director of Full Gospel, and we used to meet every Saturday night for dinner. And we'd meet in a mall. We would go to have dinner and then go to the mall and walk the mall. And my wife and his wife would walk together, and he and I would walk together and spend a couple hours of fellowship. While this was going on, we came out of the steakhouse and went across just a block away to the mall and walked in, and Mildred was walking bent over because she couldn't straighten up, about at an angle about like this. We walked into J.C. Penney, and John says, Mildred, you need some deliverance. And she says, I've had everything that I know to do, but if you've got something, I'll receive it. But I'll tell you this, that I've been prayed for, and the Word tells me that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. He says, you lie. You're not healed. Now, this is a Full Gospel leader. He says, you're lying. You're not healed. Look at yourself. You don't walk straight. And he proceeded to sit her down in J.C. Penney and minister deliverance to her, tried to get her legs straightened out and everything else that he could think to do. She got up, she walked bent over. She said, I receive it, but she's still walking. About 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later probably, standing in church one night, singing praises unto the Lord, she straightened up, and that was the end of it.
He told me I was lying. I said, no. I said, that's what the Word said. The Word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And that's what I was believing. We laugh about that. We had a full-length mirror I had to pass by all the time. And I tell you, I was almost double because the pain was real bad. But I'd go by and I'd say, well, you liar, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Every time I'd go by the mirror. But it came. The manifestation of it came. And I tell you, the Word works. And it works in every area of our lives. I had a lot of scriptures I was going to give you, but my time's run out. So I do want you to know that the Word says that the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear Him. As we fear God, God keeps and we obey God. We fear Him, we're going to obey Him. We need to recognize who God is and walk as best we can without the sin in our lives, and obey Him. And as we do this, in Psalms 34, verse 7, it says, the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear Him. And Psalms 91 says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, the latter part of that scripture says that he gives His angels charge over us. And I know that we heard that preacher that he's talking about Jesus, but if you go and read the whole thing, it says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. So he's talking about believers. He's talking about those that will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those that will abide under the shadow of His wings, and His protection is around us and over us. And God, what I want you to know today, if you haven't heard anything else I say, and I've ceased a lot of doubt and unbelief in some people about the angels, but let me tell you, God's given you authority. If He's given you authority over evil angels, why would He not give it to you over God's angels? And they are hearkening to the voice of His Word. If the Word is in you and you know you've got authority, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power." And He said in Matthew 28:18-19, He said, "All authority has been given to Him in heaven and earth." Well, He's in heaven. And He did all the work here on this earth. He completed it. He defeated the devil. He did everything. And then He turned around and said, "I give it to you. Now you go. You go." And as you go, as we said, cast out devils and heal the sick, raise the dead. And God wants us to do it. He wants us to walk in this authority. He wants us to be His hands extended here on this earth, because, let me tell you, it's all around you. There, you don't even have to go to a foreign country. When people tell me they're going to be missionaries, I say, why? You know, we need them. You need to be a missionary right here. I understand what they're saying. But when you look around you and you see people, the world today is not interested in Jesus. But if we'll begin to walk in who we are and speak the Word and see things happen for people around about us, it'll turn people around. I'll tell you this, and I'm going to close. We're dealing with a woman that's come out of witchcraft. She's a witch. Was a high witch. We got her in a roundabout way, which doesn't matter, but she came to us, and she came out of Satanism. She was born in generation after generation of Satanism. She never knew about Jesus. And she came, her brother was sacrificed last October, or sometime last fall. They killed her brother, sacrificed him in one of their whatever. And she said that she knew. She said she began to know that this was so wrong, it was so bad, that she couldn't live any longer like that. And it took her to just before Easter to really make up her mind. And she said she decided she's going to kill herself. Let me tell you the lie that they have. I asked her, I said, if you are serving Satan and you're living with, you know, worshiping Satan and killing people and innocent children and everything, I said, what do they tell you your end's going to be when you die? She said that it was that they are taught that it's an honor to die for Satan, to be sacrificed. And I said, well, what in the world kind of end? I said, the scripture says that Satan and his demons are going to, all that fall out here will be have their place in the lake of fire. I said, what do they tell you? What do you believe? And she said that they believe that they would be into the demon world. They would just go and live in the demon world, spirit world, where the demons are. But I said, well, you mean to tell me that was going to be better than life? She said, I was going to kill myself. She was driving along the road and somewhere in Texas, and she said, as she was driving, she was trying to get up enough nerve to decide how she was going to end it. And somewhere or another, she hit the scanner on her radio. And it went on a radio talk show where someone, I don't know who, was talking, ministering to young people that had been in Satanism, and they were bringing them out, getting them saved and bringing them out. And she heard this, and she said she listened to it for about an hour. She just drove around in her car, and then she got out of her car, and she went to a pay phone, and she got on the phone, and she called this individual. And, of course, they talked to her and asked her if she wanted to get saved, and she said no. But she wanted to know all about this. Could a person really get out and things like this? And anyway, they gave her a number of another individual to call to go talk to him. Well, make a long story short, a couple of days later, she got saved. She went to this individual, and she led her to the Lord. Well, she ended up with us, and she's really demonized. She's got to be delivered. But as we've been ministering for her and praying for her, trying to pray protection over her, because they've been into our little town trying to get her. They came to our church last Sunday night and tried to drag her out of the church. Well, one of the witches called me one night and said to me, that's what I said at the beginning, she told me to get, she called me and said, you call your angels off. And I said, are they bothering you? She said, you call them off. And I said, I won't do it. I'll just send more. And then I said, while she was on the phone, I said, Father, send more angels. And I should put angels around this witch. She told me what her name was. And I said, put angels around her. And then double your angels around this lady that we were protecting. And she got real angry with me, but she hung up. And about 2.5 weeks later, she called me again one night at 2:30 in the morning. And she said, is this Mildred? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, you help Angela. This was the girl that they had been after. And I said, what do you want? What do you call me this time of night? She said, or morning, she said, she is screaming. I can't stand hear her screaming anymore. So she's in real bad pain, and I can't stand it. So you helped her before. So help her again. They're killing her. And so Jim and I got up, and we prayed for a couple hours, and we felt like it was taken care of. And sure enough, later she called us, and she didn't know that the witch had called me and told me everything was happening. But what I wanted you to see was, they see in the spirit realm. They walk in the evil, demonic side. But they see God's angels. And I said, Lord, I said, I really didn't care anything about having the witch confirm the word to me. But you see, God let this witch confirm God's word that the angels were protecting this woman. And I praise the Lord. And this was not a demon. I've had demons tell me, you know, I'd knock your head off, but the angels are protecting you. But this was an individual that called me and told me to remove the angels. So if they bother them, I think we ought to use a lot more of them. I think we need to send more. I think we need to send them around every coven. If you know where there's a coven, send angels. Ask the Father to send angels and put a circle around there that they can't send curses at, and to shine the light of God. See, they don't like the light, and ask God to put the light on them. So I really want you to believe in them. I do, and I've seen them work. And it's just another area of warfare that you have. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for being patient with me. Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.